Blog Talk Radio.
Birthdays today, George Washington Goethals. He was the engineer who built the Panama Canal. A lot of people don't know who he was and the great contribution that he made. Those of you who need very special medical care when all other usual doctors can't diagnose or cure what's wrong with you, you'll often think of the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota. William Mayo was born today. Dr. Mayo was, I think there were two brothers who started that famous clinic in Minnesota. You've heard the term progressive. When it's used today, it's used by the former communist, American Communist Party. After World War II, the American Communist Party went into their political closet and came out as progressives. But at the turn of the century, progressives were people like Teddy Roosevelt, Fiorello LaGuardia, and William T. Borah, and there were a couple others. Borah was a senator, and of course there was several others who La Follette out of Wisconsin, the La Follette family. But they were the true progressives, and this is one of the irony. And Hiram Johnson, the governor of California, the progressives at the turn of the century were for keeping, part of their agenda was keeping the American Indians on reservations, restricting Asian immigration to this country, for closing down red light districts. They didn't approve of prostitution. The progressives today, the communists, the closet communists, promote pedophilia, pornography, nudity. These are the more extreme so-called progressives. Gay, lesbian marriage, illegal immigration, or illegal aliens with special rights, the more extreme who are into bicycles, the bicycle agenda. And we'll get into these phony progressives and the ones today and compare them with the progressives at the turn of the century. And remember that Teddy Roosevelt was a racist. He used to refer to the Chinese as the GD, dirty Chinese, and the plucky little Japs. And one of the reasons that he had the he brokered the peace treaty in 1905 between Russia and Japan, it was because the Japanese were kicking Russian butt, and he couldn't stand to see Asians beating up, defeating the white race, so-called. Also, there was a notorious case in Brownsville where an all-black company of soldiers were they tried to it was a race riot down there involving an all-black regiment, or not a regiment, but a company of soldiers, and Teddy Roosevelt had them all dismissed from the army, an awful racist act on his part. Now, interestingly, he did entertain George Washington Carver, the black, great black scientist from Tuskegee, who founded Tuskegee Institute. He had George Washington Carver for dinner at the White House, but Teddy Roosevelt was a very strange racist. Among the other birthdays today, great musician Leroy Anderson, who wrote, did a lot of arrangement, and he's probably most famous for the syncopated clock and arrangements of Christmas music, and he did arrangements for the Boston Pops with Arthur Fiedler. Nelson Eddy, who was the male partner of Jeanette MacDonald, probably most famous Nelson Eddy and Jeanette MacDonald, where he played a Mountie. His birthday is today. The controversial Prince Bernhard, who was the consort of Juliana, the Queen of the Netherlands. Bernhard was involved in the Lockheed scandal and also was part of the Bilderbergers, this so-called shadow group of powerful financiers, media people, political operatives who want to create a new world order. He also was the father of four daughters, and one of them, Beatrix, is the queen of the Netherlands right now, and she had three sons. It's interesting. The great Czech conductor and musician Rafael Kubelik was born today, and he was the son of Jan Kubelik, the great violinist. And Slim Pickens, great actor, played in a lot of westerns, he was born today. Among the deaths today, the great compromiser Henry Clay died today. The one of the greatest pianists, probably the second greatest pianist after Chopin, Ignaz Paderewski. He was also the president or premier of Poland before World War II, and also he made a movie in Hollywood. Jane Mansfield, who was famous for her superstructure, she died in a car accident on this day. Bob Crane of Hogan's Heroes, he died. They think he was murdered. And then the novelist Irvin Wallace was believed to be Russian Jewish heritage. The family name was probably Wallachinsky. And of course, when his ancestors came over here, the immigration people anglicized their name. So if it was Wallachinsky, they made it Wallace, and a lot of other strange things. Like Richard Rogers, who was born earlier this, his birthday was earlier this week. His family came from, came from Russia, and was, I think, Radinsky was the original name. And so the immigration people changed his family's name to Rogers. And of course, he studied medicine, was a doctor. He was bored, and he decided that he could play the piano, and he decided to try composing, and he wrote a lot of the music for Oklahoma, Carousel, South Pacific, and the greatest and the longest piece of music ever written, the music for Victory at Sea, the NBC spectacular on how the Navy won World War II. He worked with Oscar Hammerstein II. There was also a famous German general named Hammerstein, but I don't know if they were related. Among the other events today, we had Boeing in 1916 flew their first aircraft, and of course they later became America's premier aircraft manufacturer. They've got the Superliner now. I don't know if it's in service. In 1776, Patrick Henry became governor of Virginia, and when the British invaded Virginia, he fled, and of course he's probably best known for his statement, "Give me liberty or give me death," but he ran away to make sure that he had liberty. In 1940, FDR's administration legislated the Alien Registration Act. All aliens had to register. We don't know what's happened since then. Apparently now they give them, so-called progressives want to give them amnesty and all the rights of citizenship without following or qualifying for any of the requirements. I understand that in Brazil and in Portugal, because the language is so difficult, you have to be a resident for 15 years. In Germany, you used to have 5 years. So it's very interesting. I did a survey on what the citizenship requirements were for various countries. 1949, the U.S. withdrew its troops from Korea, and then a year later, they were back. Truman sent them under the mandate of the U.N. To fight North Korea in Korea, and it's also known as the Forgotten War. 1964, Lyndon Johnson finally got the Civil Rights Act passed. In 1977, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, ruled that the death penalty was cruel and unusual. And in 1977, SCOTUS, the Supreme Court, ruled that there couldn't be a death penalty for rapes of adults. This is interesting. So these are among the interesting things today. Since the Queen has gone to Northern Ireland, I understand Prince Philip was avoiding McGuinness. And, of course, his uncle, Mountbatten, was killed by IRA. They put a bomb in his boat. I thought this was very appropriate. Maybe the Queen thinks this song is appropriate. That was appropriate since the Queen went to Northern Ireland, and of course they put it this way: they buried the hatchet, the bayonet, and the rifle butt. Among the things today that I think are important, also on this day in 1934, it was the infamous Night of the Long Knives. That's when Adolf Hitler decided he was pressured by the German generals, the industrialists, and Heinrich Himmler was the willing accomplice. Compass to get rid of the SA, I can't pronounce that name in German. That was the 100,000 man private army of Ernest Röhm, who had been a captain in World War I and had been a trench mate of foxhole mate of Adolf Hitler, we believe. Anyway, Ernest Röhm was a war hero, but he was also a notorious pedophile. And this is the first example of open homosexuality encouraged in the military ranks. There was an orgy at a lake outside of Munich, and Hitler got pressured from the various the German general staff felt pressured that their rights were going to be trampled by Ernest Röhm. Himmler saw Ernest Röhm as a threat to his Gestapo and SS, and the industrialists were getting tired of the orgies and demands of Ernest Röhm. Ernest Röhm thought and said that Hitler was too conservative. Ernest Röhm was a true national socialist, so he believed, but they decided that all these guys, the top leadership of the SA, was at this chalet and having an orgy. And Himmler came down from Munich in the dead of night. with his henchmen, and they arrested the top leadership of the SA, brought them back to Berlin, and started to execute them one by one. They also used the Night of the Long Knives to get rid of the other political opponents of Hitler, and started to get to work on the Jews and the other groups. This was a beginning of a blood orgy, and it went on for days in Nazi Germany. We may see this happen on this side of the bay of the pond, let's put it that way. Hopefully it'll never happen that these people will just go away, these people who promote the same agendas as Ernest Röhm, this National Socialism. But it's interesting that nobody's picked up on this, and you know, those who forget history are bound to repeat it, and the encore is even worse. Among the other things, the early 1800s, after the Mormons were started by Joseph Smith, he was known as the first Mormon candidate for president, so he was the Mormons' first political animal. He was killed in, he was threatened with, accused of treason in Illinois. In Missouri, the governor told him to leave or be exterminated, so he went to Illinois, and where the governor of Illinois accused him of treason. He was placed in a local jail. The local townspeople didn't trust the Mormons because they preached the spiritual control of the economic, political, and spiritual life of the citizenry. So they lynched Joseph Smith and his brother in Nauvoo, Illinois. And if you drive through Iowa, there is a road, I think it's U.S. 91 or 94, 90 or 94. It's known as the Mormon Trail, and this is where the Mormons fled from Illinois through Iowa and eventually came to Salt Lake City and to Utah. The gay agenda, some of the older gays who have been around have begun to question the agenda of these radicals who have taken over the movement and the commercial interest. That the gay parade started in the 70s. It was just a fun thing. We all went there just because it was fun. There was a lot of pot, drinking, and just partying. It wasn't this political agenda. There wasn't this open sex and S&M in the streets, which is what this parade has become. And also all the politicians feel that they've got to go there. Although Dianne Feinstein, to her credit, avoided the gay parade. She wouldn't be caught dead there, as one commenter remarked, at her absence and her refusal to attend. But anyway, the politicians feel that they have to go there so that they will get the votes of this so-called lobby at when election time comes around. And also people are saying, hey, you know, you're here in San Francisco. It's still a tolerant city, although it's becoming more and more tyrannical with these radical gays who have their own agenda and who will not tolerate a questioning of that agenda and come up with what I call the Caligula approach, where you're accused, if you question the agenda, you're accused of hate crime. But it's not a hate crime if the radical gays attack churches and interrupt church services, and particularly aimed at the Roman Catholic Church. But that's not a hate crime, of course. What we're also seeing since Mr. Rowe has embraced the gay agenda, the gay, lesbian, NAMBLA agenda, we are seeing the glorification of male rape in these videos that are on the World Wide Web. We are going to show the expurgated ones. I'm not going to get into all the filthy acts, and it's not going to be put up there for titillation. It's up there for education and how you can protect yourself and anybody that goes into the military. One of the big political myths is that only women get raped. Fortunately, they don't get mutilated, tortured, and murdered like a lot of male military, young military personnel have. We have the notorious cases here in California and on the West Coast of U.S. Marines, young U.S. Marines being picked up hitchhiking. They have been drugged, tortured, castrated, and murdered. And the guy who did it, Randy Kraft, is sitting on death row in San Quentin, but you don't hear about that. Also, the notorious Juan Pifure case, who used to lure young white servicemen to his one of his lairs, and where he tried to lure them into sadomasochism, and there were always fights. And when he did this with Stephen Neary, an 18-year-old naive kid, didn't even have a driver's license, and tried to rape the kid, and Pifure is believed to have AIDS because it's been concealed. That has been covered up in the media. You won't read about it in the New York Times, the L.A. Times, the old San Diego Union, the Chicago Tribune, any of those papers, the Toronto Sun, of which a Canadian is involved in, who was involved in the Kangaroo Court trial that started, they tried to start in Gay Pride Month of 1999. We'll get into that some more. So we'll be back Monday, and hopefully we'll have an interview with Patrick Butler, who was probably the premier and won the longest, had the longest experience in Cook County politics or Chicago politics, where are the real politics in America, none of this pansy politics, as we call it. Also, we'll discuss the top former state deputy attorney general, who, after the Steve Neary case became apparent to the political and judicial cognoscente, he disclosed who really makes court decisions. This is particularly important with the U.S. Supreme Court coming down 5-4 decision on Obamacare. The question that the cognoscenti are asking is, what role did the court clerks have in preparing the judicial rationalization or foundation to come up with this decision? So that should be interesting. People ought to know that judges also, because of their heavy caseload, don't have time to do the legal research as people like what I used to do when I was working for law firms, besides in special investigations. But there are people in all the courts on all levels who do the legal research and prepare the briefs and write them in many cases and for the judges to sign. And a lot of and some judges, I think it was William O. Douglas of the U.S. Supreme Court, he preferred to either do his own research or to have research done, and then he would check it. A lot of judges don't do that. So this is very important. You need to know, ignorance is not bliss. You need to know, if you have to go to court, you need to know who's sitting up there on that bench with the gavel and who's going to pass judgment on you as either a defendant or as a plaintiff. So we're going to end soon. We'll play our usual theme, politics and poker, and we will be back Monday. Hopefully we'll have that interview ready with Patrick Butler and also with Dr. Broderick. Update on what's really put in pet food.
What do you say, Benz? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough.
politics.
Out of play.
Where's the call?
All right now, fellas. Politics or poker? Which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try like a Vanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Play for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Rubbing neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Okay, folks, so also go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We have Dr. Eric Szymanski, who was a cardiologist, and he was an internist during some residency here at University of California Hospital, the best in the country. He has now gone to the Massachusetts General Hospital to do some more residency. He's from Illinois, went to the Northwestern University School of Medicine. And he talks about, gives you some insight on preparing for marathons. So that's on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. Also, those of you who are interested in art, Professor James Gleason offers some insights on how to appreciate art when you go to a museum. And also, you can do this online. This is also interesting because a lot of this stuff is interactive. That's also one of our latest. And also the fact that he lives in the area where Patricia Hearst was holed up and eventually apprehended and arrested by the FBI in the notorious SLA terrorism attacks during the 1970s. And then also those of you who are concerned about military personnel being abused by local police and sheriffs, the Adcott case is on the web. So it's also on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. We'll be back Monday at 4 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Brazola. I'm losing my voice. So have a happy weekend. And also go to our YouTube sites. Good night.